This morning's public reading from Scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. We're going to be reading in our hearing verses 11 to 18 this morning. This is God's Word. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bore him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up, and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, That a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. Please be seated. And may God choose to bless his word. Now that verse 18 is very important. Look at that verse 18. We got to ask the question, which John? It says, and the disciples of John showed him, the pronoun him is John, of all these things. Now notice verse 19. I don't want to get too far because this is next week. And John called unto him two of his disciples and sent him unto Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? Now next week we're going to show the interesting connection between what is said in verse 18 and what John the Baptist does in verse 19 and the question that John asks. Okay, here we have an instance in the life, in the public life of the Lord Jesus Christ, of where he performs a miracle that caused great wonderment and great fear. Look at that verse 16. There came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us. And now I get that this just jumped off the page, that God had visited his people. Beloved, that's, now the people may not realize what they're saying, but in Christian theology, that is nothing more but the incarnation of the Son of God being described. What is the incarnation? Other than God coming and tabernacling and dwelling amongst us. Yeah, isn't that amazing? God with us. Isaiah chapter what? 9, I believe. Yeah, Isaiah 9. And then in Matthew's gospel, Matthew gives us the interpretation, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall what? Take away the sins of his people. And Matthew provides the interpretation, Emmanuel, God with us, God visiting his people. So I find that interesting that maybe the people were just simply saying that, you know, God has visited us in this great prophet who rose this young boy from the dead. Little did they know what they were actually saying, that God had truly visited them in the person of the God-man. So they come to the city of Nain, and many of his disciples went with him. So apparently there's more than just the 12 being implied. And they come into the city gate, and they see this funeral procession. Okay, the body all wrapped up. Looks like a mummy with all the linen from head to toe. And there was much people. Now when I see the much people, that tells me that this woman and her son were well known. Okay, oh, they had a large family or a large network of friends. But this wasn't just a few people going up, you know, to Boot Hill to go bury a body. This was a large procession. Maybe it was a small enough town that everybody knew everybody. And when this widow lost her only son, a young son apparently, you know, it spread like wildfire. And so the whole village shows up in this funeral procession. But the widow was apparently well known, so was the young man. And so the people enter her grief and form this funeral procession. Jesus and his disciples come across this funeral procession. And notice verse 13. He had compassion on her. And I think out of all the attributes that the Bible tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that affects you and I the most is compassion. Everybody eats and drinks compassion. And in many instances, a lot of people today that are in pain, not just physical pain, but all kinds of pain, all they want is someone to come alongside and just empathize and just show a little compassion. It's very quick and very easy for you and I to judge anybody when they're in pain. Well, it's your fault. You're to blame. Anybody can throw those insults or can throw those arrows into someone's chest and add more pain to the injury or more injury to the pain. But beloved, when was the last time you showed somebody compassion? You ever notice that whenever you and I pray and we beg the Lord for his mercy, you're tapping into his compassion? Lord, please be merciful. Lord, please, please, please show compassion. And so the Lord Jesus was nothing but a well of compassion. And so his heart goes out to this woman and he tells her not to weep. And then in verses 14, as the procession continues, Jesus just simply touches those who were carrying this wound up body and they automatically freeze. They stood still. And we get an idea of the age. Young man. So this was not her husband, okay? This was not her son-in-law, probably a son-in-law, but it says her only son. So this was a young person, relatively young. And for whatever reason, he's now gone. I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. You ever wonder what he was saying? What are some of the things he saw on that other side of the veil and came back? Apparently, his mouth was just simply going 90 miles a minute. He spoke. He said something. And Jesus delivered him to his mother. So notice that. They had to unwind his body. And then Jesus graciously and with much compassion and love, holding her son, reunites the dead son, now made alive, to her grieving mother, who now has joy and happiness. That's the God that we serve. Not some evil, vindictive, one-eyed cyclops that many portray him. Up in heaven with a Louisville slugger just waiting to squash people. Beloved, please realize that when God executes his judgment, that judgment comes after a long period of warning. God does not judge on the fly, nor does God judge arbitrarily. He judges in the context of his knowledge and his just justice. He is not a vindictive monster. He even has no delight in the death of even the wicked, according to Scripture. And then there was great glory, great fear. And then verse 17, this simply shot out like a wildfire. A rumor spreads about him. And apparently, in verse 18, there's a good possibility that some of the people who were eyewitnesses of this miracle and other miracles that Jesus did happened to have been some of John's disciples. And so while John is languishing in prison, as we shall see next week, he's getting these daily updates from his disciples and all that Jesus is doing. And so why would John the Baptist ask the question in that verse 19 for next week, are you the one? What was John anticipating? What was John all concerned about? Did John seem to have missed something? Was there something in the redemption plan that John didn't see coming about? And therefore question whether or not, are you the one that we've been looking for? Or do we look for another? Well, that's for next week. Well, may God choose to richly bless his word.